Amen. Well, today I thank you, musicians, very much for all your hard work and your help today. And doesn't the stage look great? Doesn't the stage look good? Like the decorations? Yes. Didn't they do a great job? I want to thank, you can give a hand clap. I want to thank Teresa Devine. I want to thank Tanya Scott and, of course, Pastor Melody and Pastor Jeremiah, all different ones who came down and helped put together the decorations this year, and very much appreciate it. The stage looks very, very beautiful during this time of the Christmas holidays. I love the Christmas holiday. I love the decorations, and with five kids, really not, I don't have a choice. I better love it, right? It's there, and it's already started. I know it started with you. Well, today we have something very special that I'm so excited today to present to you, our special speaker today. And about a year and a half ago, Fred Williams and I became friends, and I've known of Fred for a long time. He and I were both graduates of the same Bible college, but we did not attend at the same time, but I knew who he was, but we never really had a chance to develop a friendship like we have over the last year and a half, and I count him as a true friend. We have been meeting together, and just to see what God is doing in his life and his family's life, to see him growing in the Lord and to see just what God is doing, I'm so thankful today that he is a part of our church body, and he's a gift to our church body today, and he'd never had a chance to speak before on a Sunday morning. Today is his chance. We're going to let him do that and bless our congregation today. Will you make him feel welcome, one of our own, Fred Williams? Yes, Fred, come.
Well, praise the Lord. Am I on? I'm on, I guess. It's bright. It's really bright. Well, first of all, I'm honored to stand here before you. And that's bright. I feel like I'm under the anointing. No, I'm just saying. Oh, my. I tell you, it's great to be in a house with great leadership, you know, with such an anointing. You know, it's... Like Pastor Gene said, he and I began to meet over the past several months, and this we've grown close. I've always known of Pastor Gene, but I've never had the opportunity to meet him prior to coming here, and I'm blessed just to call him my friend. You know, it's you can always tell when you're under great leadership when the parameters are wide. Always tell. One of the telltale signs of knowing that you're under great leadership is when you're in the church and you might not necessarily like everybody on that side, but under great leadership, it forces you to rub shoulders. And consequently, your parameters are now widening. God is good. God is good. God is good. I'd like to honor Pastor Melody and Pastor Gene and Pastor Skiles, both Pastor Cassie and Jeremiah and Pastor Matt and Pastor Crystal. Let's give them a hand. Let's bless God for their leadership. Bless you, Pastor. Bless you. Bless God for your leadership. You know, it's been such an intense journey. It's been such an intense walk with God. And that intensity, it's good to know God. I mean, we often talk about, you know, wanting to know, you know, certain celebrities and things of that nature. But to know God. To know God, to know him. I mean, what it means to know God. What it means to know God. You see, you can live in a house with a person and not really know them. You can. It's possible. You can live in the house and you not know the same color, not what color they like, not know what food they like, not really know them. But to say that you know God, to be in his presence. You see, I want to know when he wants me to be quiet. I want to know when he wants me to speak. I want to know when he wants me to down here and to be hidden. And I want to know when he wants me to be seen. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know when he whispers in my ear. What move did he want? I want to know when he changed direction to go this way. I want to know when he changed directions to go that way. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Like David. David was crazy in love with the presence of God. Crazy in love with the presence of God. You see, you can have it all, but as long as I have his presence. I'll live out of the backseat of a car, but with his presence. I've got to have his presence. I'll live in a shack or a shanty as long as I have his presence. David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit in me, Lord. You see, ultimately, that's what it's about, is being in his presence. His presence. With that being said, turn with me to Job 23. Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 12. You'll pull that up for me. Here we go. You have it, say amen. All right, now stand with me for the reading of God's word. It says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. My way have I kept. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed his words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you that you're in the house today. I thank you that you're meeting needs. I thank you that you're our God. And because you are our God, we just expect great things from you. You are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. Now, God, I pray that you hide me behind thy cross. Take control. Lord, I pray that you seize this place. You apprehend this house. Seize us with your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to set this down a second. I've lost my place. This is what happens when you give your daughter your Bible before church. Don't ever do it. My God. I'm all discombobulated. We'll get there. Bear with me. My God. Oh, Jesus. Maya, Maya. Sorry, I love you, baby. Okay. You're about there. All right. What a way to break the anointing, huh? It's still there. Don't worry. We'll get there. Okay, here we are. The book of Job. The book of Job. The book of Job is a part of the books that are known as the writings. It is one of the five books of wisdom and poetry. The book of Job is in a historical poem that is a poem which is based on an actual event. The other books that represent the books of writings are Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Songs, or Songs of Solomon. Among the author of these books were kings. Among the authors were prophets. Among the authors were prophets and poets and common people. Though we live in a different time and our culture is different, the books that are known to us as the writings are still valuable to us today because they show us that God is concerned with our sufferings. They show us that God is concerned with our daily business. They show us that God is concerned with our family lives. And they show us that God is concerned with our worship. You see, God is concerned with worship. When you look at a book like Job, you most certainly wouldn't think of worship. But one of the things that worship shows is commitment. And you cannot argue the fact that Job was committed to God. There are two possible literal meanings of the name Job. If the name's origin is in the Arabic language, it means one who turns back or repents. If the origin is in the Hebrew, it means the hated one or the persecuted one, which I find intriguing because they both reflect the experiences of Job. The book of Job is probably the oldest book of the Bible. Job himself likely lived during the time of the patriarchs, between Abraham and Moses, between the Tower of Babel event and the call of Abraham. The theme of the book is human suffering, one of man's most universal and unsolved problems. I stated earlier that among the books that were written, or the among the authors that were written, wrote the book of Job was common people, which is interesting because it shows us that God is concerned with seemingly simple folk like you and I. But if I may exegete for a minute in verse 10, I want to zero in on that. It records, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, I don't know about you, but that causes me some problem. You see, another way of looking at it is, yet God knows my every step. If he tests me, he will find me pure. Now, if you look at that through your natural eyes, or you perceive that through your natural mind, your mind will probably tell you that it doesn't make sense. It's antithetical. The text itself is antithetical. Yet, God knows my every step, but he tests me. Why? If he knows my every step, you see, he should just give me what I need to overcome, or give me what I need to get through what he wants me to be, you see, because he's God. He knows where I'm vulnerable and invulnerable. He knows all my past hurts and my past failures. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. He knows what left me scarred and wounded. He knows me. He knows me. He knows me. The Bible records in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." It also records in the Gospel of St. Luke 12:7 that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And if they're numbered, it signifies that somebody's keeping count. My God, You might wonder why a book like Job is a part of the canonized holy manuscript of God. But as you evaluate and study the text, you will quickly discover that trials and sufferings are not always for our punishment. Sometimes they are allowed to come into our lives so that we may be trained up. Sometimes they are allowed to come into our lives that we might be educated. It also helps us to understand that though we are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and followers of Christ, we are not exempt from problems. The book of Job, it presents to us that no matter how much you serve God, no matter how much you are committed to God, sooner or later, something will come into your life and to challenge your faith and your concept of God's love. And I'm concerned with some of the things that are coming out of our Christian circles. One of which is that there won't be any more problems if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, which is simply not true. It's not true. If you've not heard it before, I'll be the first to tell you it's not true. Being filled with the Spirit of Christ gives you the ability and the strength to go through what you've got to go through. And that's just it. You've got to go through it. You've got to go through it because God has his hand on you and he has anointed you. And one thing about the anointing, once the anointing is on you and it becomes evident, you see, and it's no longer mysterious by the adversary or others, it now there will be obstacles and traps set in place to get you off course. That's just it. That's just it. A portion of the 23rd Psalm, it records, it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't you fool yourself. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. That means that there's death all around me. It just so happens that where I'm going, I might have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. My God, you see, I don't know what I've got to go through, but I'll go through it because of my experience with him and because he's God. I'm not willing to go through all the trouble and heartache with no one else, but I can face it with him because he cares for me and I love him and I'm committed to him. I'm not going to act like I love him one moment and ignore him the next. I'm not going to follow him here in Destiny Church, but act like I don't ignore him out in the community because he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere present at the same time. I don't know how that is, but he's God. So whatever you find yourself in, just understand that he's there. Whatever situation that you might be going through, just know that he's there. Whatever circumstances you might find yourself in, just know that he's there. Whatever problems you face, just know that he's Jehovah Shammah and he's there. He's there, he's there, and he loves you. It's good to have an experience with God. It's good to have an experience with God. I'm not talking about what mama told me. I'm not talking about what daddy told me. I'm not talking about what my grandma told me. I'm not talking about what my grandpa told me, but I'm not talking about what the pastor told me, but I'm talking about a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is that experience which is going to become a landmark or a snapshot in your life. So when you go through that same thing or someone else go through that same thing or something familiar, you can say with confidence, you will not die. You will make it. You will not self-destruct. You will not throw in a towel. You will not crack like an egg. And the more I'm squeezed, the more I'm going to call on God. The more I'm oppressed, the louder I'm going to scream and shout his name. Like Jacob, I'm determined. I'm not going to let go until you bless my soul. Hallelujah. I might come out of it with a limp. I might come out of it with a hobble. I might come out of it crawling. I might come out of it a little hesitant and picking my way through, but I'm going to come out of it in the name of Jesus. You see, it's easy to follow in the way of the Lord when all is going well, when there's no sickness present, when there's no pain and no suffering, when all your bills are paid and your family's doing well, when your kids are not on drugs, when your stomach is full and you're not hungry, and when you can feel the very presence of God and you can hardly stand in the midst of his glory and the anointing is all over you and his vesture, your vesture is just dripping with blood. But what happens when your life is tragically shaken all of a sudden and everything is turned topsy-turvy, when your family have fallen away and they're now on drugs, when you can't see your breakthrough and when you're in one of those ruts, you know, one of those dry spells, when you haven't gotten your breakthrough, what happens then? What happens then? God wants you to know that he knows you're in from your beginning. He's with you all the way. You keep going. You keep trying. Don't you give up. You keep strutting, because God will hear you through it. God will see you through it. He is Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. And he knows you're in. He knows you're in. He knows you're in. He knows your end. He knows your end. You're just somewhere on the process, in the process of it all. You see, that's what Paul was talking about. He said, "For these light afflictions are but for a moment, working for us a far more and exceedingly eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, for the things that are not seen are eternal." He said, don't get so caught up in the process that you lose sight of the purpose of God. For the process is temporal, but the purpose of God is eternal. You're just somewhere along the process. Somewhere along the process. And he's developing something in you that's great. Grab hold of this. He's developing something in you that's awesome. He's developing something in you that's wonderful. He's developing you. He wants you to see it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to know that he's in, he's with you in your sufferings. He wants you to see that he's with you in your pain. He wants you to see that he's with you in your struggles. He wants you to know that he's with you in your problems. For his grace is sufficient, and his strength is made perfect. The NIV says his power is made perfect in weakness. You see, there are some benefits in your suffering. There are some benefits in your pain. There are some benefits in your trials. There are some benefits in your hurt. There is some benefit out of your weakness, and you will be victorious because God has given it to you. As he stood suspended between a circle of the universe, as he came from infinite to finite, and he put on real flesh and he shed real blood for the real problems and the real sin of real people. And as he hung suspended between heaven and earth and he gasped his last breath. And when you gasped his last breath, the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. I want you to know that God will tear up heaven to come down and make a miracle in your life. Don't you get discouraged and start listening to folk who don't have a clue. In fact, anybody who tries to block you or stop you from the will of God is being poked and prodded by the devil. I'll say that again. Anybody who tries to stop you or block you from the will of God is being poked and prodded by the devil. Some of you look a little perplexed. So I say, I got a tangle in this thing. I got to get it out. You see, that's why when Peter came along and he tried to stop Christ from going to the cross, Jesus called him a devil. But when Judas came along to betray him, Christ called him a friend. So anybody that tries to block you or stop you from the will of God is being poked and prodded by the devil. I don't care if they bake your cookies. I don't care if they cook your dinner. I don't care what they do for you. If they're trying to block you, you got to make like a linebacker and tell them, get back, get back, get back. You keep going with God. I know that it hurts. I know that it's difficult. I know that it's mentally exhausting. But if you can take the pain, if you can take the stretching of who you are, he will enlarge himself in you. It will enlarge your capacity to receive more of Christ. Walking with God is intense. I said, walking with God is intense. That's why when you got ready to do that something you know you had no business doing, you looked around you to see if there is anybody checking you out, because the Holy Spirit is convicting you and the power of God is intense. But if you ignore the conviction, that's when you've got a problem, because you're just being downright unappreciative, downright rude, downright defiant. But you better beware, because we serve a holy God. Don't you ever allow yourself to get to a place where you feel like you're too high and mighty or too special to be corrected. So when God sends correction your way, you get an attitude or something like that. Or we all need a correction. We all need a check up every now and then. So just come on into the checkup station. Lord, put us through the sonogram of heaven. X-ray us. X-ray our thoughts. X-ray our minds. X-ray our hearts. See if we have any other agendas other than you. What are we really in it for? Are we in it for the fame? Are we in it for the money? Are we in it for the prestige? What are we in this thing for? X-ray us, oh God. X-ray us. You see, God's ways are in love. It doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you. No matter what you've done. Oh, he hates the sin, but he loves you. No matter what you've done. What you've done. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all, I don't care what it is, from all unrighteousness. See, God's love, it's agape, meaning it's twofold. It's self-sacrificial and unconditional, meaning that there are no strings attached with God. It simply means that he loves you because he loves you, plus nothing. You are his most prized possession. He created you above nature and the animals. He created us in his image. And because he created us in his image, he gave us the ability to make a choice. The choice. Two choices. Either follow the one true and unchanging God or follow the many influences of this world. See, don't you be deceived. Don't be deceived. The devil is a liar, and he can only whip me halfway. But with my last breath, I'm going to holler, Jesus. And when I holler Jesus, I'm going to be putting sin under my feet. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to take my life back. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to put my family on the altar. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to put my marriage back in his hand. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to remember that taste and see that the Lord is good. And when I holler Jesus, I'm going to remember to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to remember that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. When I holler Jesus, I'm going to remember that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm going to holler till I get a breakthrough. My God. The old folks used to say, I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, you tell them I'm running. I'm running. That means I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. That means I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Hallelujah. See, nothing comes easy. You got to get it. You've got to take it. See, God said, I'm giving you a land flowing with milk and honey, but you've got to possess it. And I know that there are giants over there, but I've given you the ability to subdue those giants, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, your ability to endure the trial builds character. It enlarges God in you. So when you get your breakthrough and come forth as gold, the next person that comes along with that same problem, you've got a set of keys to unlock it. And you can say with confidence and authority, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Don't you get foolish and crazy and start believing that God stopped loving you. And God, believing that God stopped caring about the affairs of your life. Just think about what he's brought you out of. Just think about where he's brought you from. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Just tap your neighbor and just remind him that God loves him. Just tell him God loves you. 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 Don't listen to folk who are clueless and lifeless. Seek the face of God. Find you a man or woman of God so that you might be strengthened. And when he tests you, you shall come forth as gold. When he tests you, you will be pure and uncompromised. But during the testing and trials, will you be faithful? Will you be faithful when you're being stretched? Will you be faithful when you're being lied on? Will you continue to follow Christ when folks are smiling in your face? Heller, and knifing you in the back. As soon as you turn around, will you be faithful when you're painfully sick? Will you follow in the way of Christ when you need an answer and you've not gotten it yet? But if you hang on in there, God, the answer is on the way. The answer, it's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way, because all things work together for the good of them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm going to holler till I get a breakthrough. I'm going to praise him till he gets me out of this situation. I'm going to worship him till he lifts me. You see, that's what worship does. It lifts you. It lifts you to another level. It takes you out of the mundane. It takes you out of the ordinary. It allows you to see the extraordinary. It takes you out of the natural and allows you to see things supernaturally. That's what it gets you away from, surface level people and shallow things and shallow thoughts. That's what worship does. That's why it's important to worship the Lord. It's important. It's important. Worship will move you beyond your circumstance. Worship will move you beyond your problem. Worship will move you beyond whatever situation you might be facing. It'll allow you to see God as who he is. It'll allow you to see, know that God is bigger than your problem. It will allow you to know that God is bigger than your situation. It will allow you to see that God is bigger than any problem you might face. It will allow you to see that God is Jehovah. God is Yahweh. He is the answer. No matter what you're going through, He is the answer. He is the answer. Take hold of your blessing. Take hold of your healing. Take hold of your anointing. Take hold of your miracle. Take hold of the Lord, for He is sovereign. He is supreme ruler. He is Elohim for His creative power. He is El Shaddai, for He is sufficient for His people. He is Adonai, for He is Lord and Master. He is Spirit, for He has a personality, but He's not limited by the body. He is infinite, for He has no limitation. He is omnipotent, because He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent, because He's everywhere at the same time. And He's omniscient, because He knows all and sees all. He's wide, because of the combination of His omniscience and His omnipotence. He's holy, because of His absolute moral authority. He's righteous, because of His right dealings with His creatures. He's faithful, because He's absolutely trustworthy, and His words will not fail. Hallelujah. He's merciful, because of His divine goodness exercised to the miseries of His creatures. He's love, because of His desire to have a relationship with those who bear His image. He's good, for He imparts life and other blessings to His creatures. He's Jehovah, for He who was and is to come. He's Jehovah Rapha, for He is our healer. He's Jehovah Nisi, for He is our banner and our shield. He's Jehovah Shalom, for He is our peace. He's Jehovah Ra'ah, for He is our shepherd. He's Jehovah Sidkenu, for He is our righteousness. He's Jehovah Jireh, for He is our provider. He's Jehovah Shammah, for He is there. He is there. He is there. You will not crack like an egg. You will not throw in the towel. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. As the musicians make their way to the stage. You know, about 2.5 years ago, I was really in a tough spot. Really in a tough spot. So much so that I was ready to throw in the towel, if you will. Give up on ministry. Give up on it all. I had made up in my mind. I said, Lord, I'm done. I washed my hands. I washed my hands of it all. I'm done. And at the same time, I was wondering, why me? Why me, Lord? Why me? Lord, I served You. Yet I still fail. I was an active Christian. Witnessing the folk and seeing folk come to know the Lord. But yet, I experienced failure. And while I was struggling with the why me's, I went to a revival service. And in that revival service, struggling with the why me's, I heard God whisper to me. He said, son, this is not to kill you. This is not to destroy you. This is not to break you. I just have you on my assembly line. I'm putting in you what needs to be in you, and I'm taking out of you what needs to be out of you. you're just on the assembly line. It's not to kill you. It's not to destroy you. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but understand that God loves you. God loves you. You're just somewhere on the assembly line, somewhere in the process of it all. Now, before I go any further, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're in here and you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, this is your moment, this is your time, this is your opportunity. Because if you have not even accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, let me be the first to tell you, you're not even on the assembly line. You're not even on the assembly line. He created you to be more than that. This is your moment. This is your time. You want to say yes to Jesus and no to the devil? This is your moment. You want to say yes to heaven and no to hell? This is your time. You want to say yes to the light and no to darkness? This is your moment. You're not even on the assembly line, but this is your chance. Get on the assembly line. Let Jesus do what he needs to do in you. If that's you and you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, just lift up a hand. Just lift up a hand. Nobody's watching. Nobody's watching but me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the trials and the circumstances and the troubles, they're not to kill you. They're for your benefit. Believe it or not, they're for your benefit. The struggles that you may be encountering right now, they're for your benefit. The problems that you're facing, they are for your benefit. The circumstances that you might be going through, they're for your benefit. And I'll tell you why. It's this. It causes you to get closer to God. It will cause you to get closer to God. I tell you what, I never screamed. I never kicked like I kicked. I never screamed like I screamed. I never cried out to the Lord like I cried out. Never before until I encountered that moment. That moment of struggle. That moment of isolation. That moment of despair. Now I look back to that situation and it's now a landmark. I'm stronger for it. I'm stronger having gone it through it had I not gone through it. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit because it's building character. It's for your benefit because it's building purpose in you. It's for your benefit because it's infusing you with integrity. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. You might fail, but you keep trying. You might fail, but you're not a failure. You might lose at some point, but you're not a loser. You keep going. You keep going. If you will, stand with me. I think we need to make a deposit this morning. There's two types of people in here this morning. You're either making a deposit or you're making a withdrawal. You're making a deposit, Lord, I praise you for it. I'm praising you having come out of something. You need a withdrawal on that deposit, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen right now, but I need something from you. Two types of people. Come, join me. Let's make a deposit. Let's make a deposit. Let's make a deposit. Let's make a withdrawal. Come, come, everyone. Come, come, come. Don't hesitate. This is your time. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity. This is your time. Don't worry about what the person next to you thinks. This is your time. Let's make a deposit. If we're not making a deposit, we're making a withdrawal. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Make a deposit. Make a deposit. Make a deposit. Lord, I thank you that I've come out of something. Make your withdrawal. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen right now, but I'm going to make a withdrawal. Lord, I need you right now. I need you right now. You're making a deposit, so in the future, you can make a withdrawal right now. Let's go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will worship.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I will worship.
Make your deposit. Make your deposit.
I will worship.
Make your deposit. All those who pray, all those who lead, all those who help with prayer, let's pray. Let's just pray for them. Help me pray, brother. Help me pray, sister. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 Make your deposit. Make your deposit. Make a withdrawal. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but God loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I commit again.
Next to you, can you just put your hand on their shoulder? Is that fine? Let's just close this thing out tonight by praying for each other. You know, as Trevor's speaking, we know that he's talking about going through the fire and not giving up and allowing God to assemble you and to change you. And that means a lot of times we don't understand everything that we're going through. That means we don't understand what God's doing, and we don't make sense to us, and it doesn't make sense. If we were trying to answer why you're going through it, it makes no sense at all what we're going through. But I know this, if we'll put our trust in the Lord, if we'll put our trust in the Lord, as Fred was saying, as he was speaking this morning, saying, put our trust in the Lord, even though no matter what I go through, God, you are going to shape me, you're going to define me, and I will grow through this trial, I will grow through this pain, I will change through this pain. We know that God is in control. Father, right now, we put our hand on the person next to us, God. This is a sign of contact, Father. We just speak and we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We speak that your strength would strengthen them, God. And Father, we come against any spirit of give up. We come against any spirit of quit. God, we come against any spirit, Lord, to cause us, Lord, to throw in the towel, to stop. But God, today, we speak encouragement to their life. We speak, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit today, God, that you would give them strength. God, you would give them, Father, what they need, God, knowing that you are working in their life. That, God, no matter what they go through, God, today, they are knowing that, God, you are working on their heart, that you are working on their life. And, God, even though when we don't understand it, God, it becomes even a bigger walk of faith today. And our faith is in you, Father. Our faith and our trust is in you. And, Father, we pray for that person we're standing next to right now, God. We speak strength to their bodies. We speak encouragement. Father, may your Holy Spirit come today, God, and encourage them where they're at. And Father, I just pray to God, you just fill them up today with your strength. Fill them up today with your love. Fill them up, Lord. We come against any spirit of discouragement, God, and we speak, Father, love today. We speak encouragement, Father, to the life. Father, knowing that you are in control. God, you are the best heart surgeon I know. And God, when you operate on us, God, and we lay still, God, and we allow you to begin to operate on us, God, even though we don't like going through it, God, when we come through it, God, we're going to be stronger. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be better, Lord, for coming through it, God, and we couldn't give you control. So our faith today, God, is saying, God, yes to you. That, God, what comes against us does not have to destroy us, but, God, it can develop us, God, if we allow you to work in our life today. And we say yes to you and your spirit. We say yes to you, God, and what you do in our life. We seek strength in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more time. Can you just lift your hands where you're at this morning? And just give praise and honor. Father, we lift our hands to you. And say, yes, Lord, we do worship you. We worship you, Jesus.
I will worship you.
We worship you today.
I will worship
you. God, we worship you, Father. We worship you today, God. Lift our hands as a sign, God is saying, we give it to you, God. We give everything to you today, God. We're not going to walk out of here carrying this heaviness anymore, God. But today, we're giving it to you, God. Committed, Lord, to what you're going to do, God, is going to develop us. Committed to the pain that we're going through, God, will work together for good. We put our trust in you today. We do thank you, Lord, and we love you today.
Jesus, the reason that I live,
yes.
The reason that I sleep, Jesus, I believe in you, Jesus, I belong to you, you're the reason that I live, the reason that
Fred, for those challenging words this morning from the Holy Spirit. How many know we're not going to give up, right? We're not going to give up. As Job didn't give up when he went through and he lost everything, God repaid him back. And today we know no matter what we're going through, that God is in control. Continue to give God control of your life today as you leave today, knowing that you are surrendering everything to him. Amen. Hey, let me tell you right before you leave, I just encourage you one more time. If you can make it on Wednesday night, I just challenge you to come. These are power-packed sessions from 7 to 8 o'clock. Wednesday night, and I have some special things to share with those who have been coming, and I encourage you, if you can make it between 7 and 8 on Wednesday night, come out, be a part, okay? Hug a neck before you leave, okay? Shake a hand before you leave. You guys have a great week. God bless you.